Howard, Joe Buck, Fillmore Street. This is TheBillPod.com, The Week in Georgia. In English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of September, 2016, the autumnal equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. On this date in 480 BC, a Greek fleet led by Themistocles defeats the Persian fleet at the Battle of Salamis. 1692, those convicted at the Salem witch trials in Massachusetts are hung. 1776, Nathan Hale is hanged for spying during the American Revolution. 1862, a preliminary version of the Emancipation Proclamation is released. 1939, Nazi Germany and the USSR hold a joint victory parade in the Brest-Litovsk area to celebrate their invasion and partition of Poland, as envisioned in the Soviet-Nazi Pact of a week before. 1965, the Indo-Pakistani War of 1965, also known as the Second Kashmir War between India and Pakistan over Kashmir, ends after the UN calls for a ceasefire. 1980, Iraq invades Iran at the American urging, leading to a bloody 8-year-long war that ends in a stalemate. 1993, a Trans-Air Georgian Airline flight, Tupolev 154, is shot down by a missile in Suchumi, fired by Russian-supported troops, 28 are killed. Birthdays are Nick Cave, Joan Jett, and today is World Car-Free Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecki. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TobealPod.com or send us an email at TobealPod@gmail.com. The U.S. presidential elections will be the 8th of November this year for U.S. citizens. Be sure to get registered. A lot of the registration deadlines are coming up in a couple of weeks. Get your absentee ballots sent in early. If you're located outside of the U.S., for detailed information, go to the U.S. Embassy website or vote.org. If you are not a U.S. citizen, beg U.S. citizens you know that they vote daily. Do that. Bother them, especially if they're from Florida or Pennsylvania. Supreme Court elected Temur Tuğuşi as the new member of the Constitutional Court. He replaces Otar Sicinava, whose 10-year term expired at the end of September. Also, President Mark Velashvili appointed two judges to the Constitutional Court, Irma Imerileshvili and Gheorghe Kvenchiladze. They will replace Chairman of the Constitutional Court, Gheorghe Papuashvili, and Deputy Chairman Konstantin Varzalashvili, whose term also wrapped up at the end of the month. The 9-member Constitutional Court is appointed by the Supreme Court, the President, and the Prime Minister. Prosecutor General filed new charges against 4 former National Movement officials in connection with the crackdown on an anti-government demonstration in Tbilisi in May 2011. The 4, Data Khalaya, Vasil Leluashvili, Revaz Shiukhashvili, and Levon Kardava are charged with abuse of power. All are former members of the Constitutional Security Department, CUDI, and all except Data Akhalaya are already in prison on different charges. The new charges were apparently motivated by a video that was recently released from May 2011. The video depicts Akhalaya telling police to arrest as many protesters as possible, promising them bonuses tied to the number of people they arrest. 2 days after charging the 4, the prosecutor general also filed abuse of power charges against former Deputy Interior Minister Gia Lord-Kipanidze, who's now head of police in Ukraine's Odessa region. Earlier this week, he was asked to fly back to Tbilisi and answer questions about the case. He refused, saying he's too busy with his work in Ukraine and that he thinks the charges against the 4 are just a ploy by Otsneba to dig up some old dirt on the national movement ahead of the elections. Now he's being charged himself. Members of the Muslim community in Kobuleti won a discrimination lawsuit against 3 people who interfered with the opening of a Muslim religious school in 2014. Some people slaughtered a pig and hung its head on the door. This week, the Batumi City Court ruled that this was discrimination and fined the 3 people 1 lari each. There's a classy move. Court ruled against the related claim by members of the Muslim community that police failed to properly respond to the incident. The school sponsor said they'll appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. On a related note, the school will finally open after 2 years of uncertainty. traveled to and from Georgia. Prime Minister Gyorgy Kvitakashvili is in New York to attend the 71st session of the UN General Assembly. He addressed the Assembly on Wednesday. He also held meetings with outgoing UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, President of the European Council Donald Tusk, EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, and some other figures. A delegation from the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly's Election Observation Mission will arrive on the 23rd of September, tomorrow, to Georgia. Roughly 20 Estonian business people were in Tbilisi this week for the Georgia-Estonia Business Forum. The forum focused on how both sides can benefit from investments made in Georgia. The State Audit Office released numbers on the cash value of campaign donations received this year by each political party. Otsneba has received just over 10 million lari so far in 2016, almost twice as much as all the opposition parties and blocs combined. State for the People, the party launched by opera singer Pata Burchiladze, is second with 2.3 million lari. Alliance of Patriots is third with 1.2 million. The National Movement has raised 650,000. To put that in perspective, Otsneba received 5.6 million lari just in the month of August. Pata Burchiladze slammed Bidzina, accusing him of using slander to discredit his political party. State for the People, he referred specifically to an audio recording leaked to the public that depicts Burchiladze speaking about his campaign with Rustavi Ori owner Nika Kvaramia, a former member of the National Movement. Burchiladze said he's the victim of illegal surveillance and that the recording was leaked by allies of Bidzina. Bidzina has accused State for the People of being a puppet for the National Movement and said that when he asked Burchiladze to support Otsneba a few years ago, the opera singer declined, but not before asking for a lot of money in exchange. Parliamentary Speaker and member of the Republican Party, Data Usupashvili, accused Bidzina of following Misha's model on how to build a state. He said that Bidzina, in the beginning, was serious about building a more pluralistic political system, but now he wants Otsneba to essentially rule the country alone. He also said that Georgia will be in serious trouble if the National Movement is the only viable opposition party after the parliamentary elections. Misha promised that after the National Movement wins a majority in the parliamentary elections, not if they win, but when they win, the party will ensure that no university students are suspended from studies because of unpaid tuition as long as they reach a minimum GPA. He also said that Georgians should get financing to study abroad for at least 1 year. Otsneba published its peace memorandum, a document asking all political parties participating in the parliamentary election to agree to instruct their activists to stay away from events held in support of other parties. The agreement should be good until the final results are released, according to the memorandum. After the memorandum was released, Irakli Alasani of the Free Democrats said that his party would sign, but said that it was a very weak document. He said Otsneba, as the ruling party, should be responsible for making sure the elections are fair and orderly. The Central Elections Commission opened 56 overseas polling stations so Georgians living abroad can vote in the parliamentary election. The largest numbers in Greece, which has polling stations, required minimum number of registered voters for opening an overseas polling station is 20. No polling stations will be located in Russia, however, which has the highest number of Georgians living abroad. Russia opened polling stations in Abkhazia and South Ossetia for the elections to the Russian Duma or Parliament. They were on last weekend, on the 18th of September. The polling stations were open so that holders of Russian passports living in those regions could vote. The government of Georgia condemned opening the polling station, saying that it's an extension of Russia's annexation policy. Polling stations were also set up in the two regions in 2011 and 12. Abkhazia's foreign minister, Vyacheslav Chirkba, resigned on Tuesday. He said he can't continue working in the current circumstances, although he also hopes that Abkhazia's current geopolitical orientation does not change. A statement from the office of Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba said Chirkba was not allowed to keep the position because he refused to travel to Transnistria. He was afraid of being deported by the Moldovan authorities. Earlier this month, Deputy Foreign Minister Oleg Arshba was booted from the country after landing at Chisinau Airport. A group of concerned citizens are protesting Pope Francis's visit to Georgia, which will come later this month. The group is called the Union of Orthodox Parents. They view Francis and other Roman Catholics as heretics who pose a threat to Georgia's Orthodox culture, and they're lobbying the government to call off the visit. Patriarch Ilya doesn't feel the same way. He'll meet with Pope Francis when he comes to Georgia. The group is known for making controversy out of foreign institutions. They attacked a Halloween party a few years ago, and in 2014 they protested the music festival Kazantip, which took place in Anaklia. They are extreme knuckle-draggers, for those who don't know. The Russian journalist Alexander Sotnik has fled to Georgia. He's a notable critic of Vladimir Putin and his administration, and he released a video saying he's been constantly threatened with physical violence, which is why he left for Georgia. Austria opened an embassy in Georgia for the first time. The embassy is on Griboedo Street. An official opening ceremony was held on the 22nd of September and was attended by Deputy Foreign Minister Gigiadze. Kakheti has a new regional governor, Irakli Kadagishvili, a former member of the Free Democrats. He was appointed by Prime Minister to replace Irakli Shiolashvili, who quit to run for parliament with Otsneba. Shiolashvili is a majoritarian candidate for the district covering Sikhnahi and Dedoplischaro. The Cadets Military Lyceum, named after Georgi Kvinitadze, is accepting gifts for the first time since it was established in 2010. Is accepting girls for the first time since it was established in 2010. The Lyceum administration introduced a special stipend for girls enrolled at the school. There are 126 students enrolled this year. 8 of them are girls. The Cadets Military Lyceum accepts students who graduated from 9th grade. It's free, but the students have to pass special exams to enroll. Russian border guards detained a 17-year-old boy near the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. He was quickly released due to the good work of the European Union Monitoring Mission, or EUMM. He also paid the standard fee of $30. The boy was detained near Gudleti after border guards said that he crossed the administrative boundary line. He told the media he's not sure if he crossed it or not. Police caught two suspected bank robbers. One was caught at the Armenian border near Sadakhlo, another in Shaumani near Marneuli. The two men allegedly went on a crime spree last Friday, robbing two banks and a smart convenience store, all in the Vazi Subani neighborhood of Tbilisi. They could each serve up to 18 years in prison if convicted. Batumi was hit by heavy rains on Friday that caused flash floods and damaged homes around the city. Emergency workers were dispatched to pump water out of flooded basements. Fortunately, it looks as if no one was hurt. Geostat published stats on gross domestic product during the second quarter of 2016. Quarterly GDP was 8.06 billion lari, good for 3% more than during the same period last year. The biggest sectors were industry, trade, and agriculture. Mining and quarrying grew the fastest over the past year. Construction is finished on the Kartli Wind Farm near Gori. It will be tested during October and November. Then it will start producing electricity. The farm has 6 turbines and an annual generated electricity capacity of 88 gigawatts. Company operating it, LLC Kartli Wind Power Station, is jointly owned by JSC Georgian Energy Development Fund and JSC Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation. Bank of Georgia will start issuing business loans to help Georgian companies export their products to the EU. Loans can be made for up to 3 million euros. They're made possible by financial support from the EBRD. Former director of Telassi, Ashot Manukyan, is Armenia's new minister of energy. He directed Telassi in 2012 before returning to Armenia. The Azerbaijani energy giant Socar held a meeting to discuss its business operations in Georgia. In an interview following the meeting, the president of Socar said the company controls 95% of Georgia's gas market outside of Tbilisi and that its gas sales to Georgia increased by 7 times from 2010 to 2015. Energy Minister Ilya Eloshvili told reporters that Kazatomprom's gas may be sold off and Kazakhstan could leave Georgia's energy market altogether. They're considering selling Kazatomprom's gas to the industrial group of Georgia. Ukrainian airline Dnipro-Avia will begin regular direct flights between Tbilisi and Odessa starting on the 6th of October. It will be once a week on Thursdays. Cargo airline TCA received certification from the European Aviation Safety Agency that it meets safety and operational standards. The certification makes it easier for the company to operate in EU countries as well as Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland. The Agriculture Ministry launched the Georgia Hazelnut Improvement Project, a program to improve the quality of the country's hazelnut exports. It's funded by USAID and is being implemented by Cultivating New Frontiers in Agriculture, a U.S.-based nonprofit. The Danish retailer Jysk will enter Georgia for the first time. Jysk is a low-cost company that carries home goods. Their first store will open on the 1st of October. The result of a football match on the 8th of September between Merani Martvili and Rustavi was canceled after the Union of European Football Associations, or UEFA, sent a report to the Georgian Football Federation saying that they thought the match was fixed. The report says an unusually high number of bets were placed during the match for Merani to win and for at least 2.5 goals to be scored. Merani won 2-1. Each team was awarded a 0-3 loss, lost 6 points in the standing, and were fined 10,000 lari. There have been at least 6 cases of match-fixing in Georgian football since April 2014. A Turkish school recently opened in Batumi, but there's already some controversy. Batumi City Hall has fined the school several times for not having the appropriate construction permits. According to City Hall, they won't assess any more fines. Instead, the school will be dismantled if they don't present the right permits. The Ministry of Education of Ajda said they weren't notified about the school's opening beforehand. The school is funded by the Turkish government, and it's intended to promote Turkish language learning and cultural cooperation between Georgians and Turks. Lisi Lake has a new walking and cycling route. The 3-kilometer path goes all the way around the lake. It will cost about 1 million lari to build and was jointly covered by City Hall and the Tbilisi Development Fund. It's part of the new Tiflis project, a number of initiatives designed to make the city more livable. The newly renovated section of Agmaşenebeli will be unveiled on the 25th of September. It includes 38 houses that are considered culturally that are considered cultural heritage monuments by Tbilisi authorities. The section of the street will be pedestrian only. U.S. government is spending $54 million to renovate about 100 schools across Georgia. As reported by the U.S. Embassy, the work is completed in 12 of them. Sculptor Mehrab Berzanashvili passed away at the age of 87. He created some of the best-known sculptures around Tbilisi, including the Muse, the bronze sculpture in front of the Tbilisi Concert Hall, the Pilarmonia, and the Gheorghe Saakadze Monument at Saakadze Square, and more. Parliament won't be meeting until after the 8th of October elections. At least 76 members need to show up in order for a legislative session to be held, and that won't happen with MPs currently focusing on their re-election campaign. The meme this week is a video of a flash mob that performed at Meydani in Old Tbilisi on the 20th of September. The mobbers are musicians from the Tbilisi State Chamber Orchestra. They put on a string and wind show for the pretty large crowd of people. In Meydani, it was organized by the Georgian Center for Security and Development, a cool new organization that encourages Georgia's Western direction. Stuff to read. Foreign Affairs previews the parliamentary elections. Georgia is one of the few countries in Eurasia where democratic development seems to be trending upward, but those gains are not irreversible. It's important that both Georgia's leaders and its Western allies stay committed to the country's progress. The BBC photographer Jacob Borden looks at families living in abandoned hospitals and buildings outside of Tbilisi, the depravity of daily life, and the importance of community. Luca Pertaya for IWPR reports on Batumi's Muslim community and their struggle with the government to build a second mosque. Social Science in the Caucasus writes about the link between education, employment, and income in Georgia. Not surprisingly, they find that those with a college education reported higher incomes and were more likely to report being employed. Gheorghe Lomsadze writes in Eurasianet about a feud between Bidzin and Borçiladze. In his view, it's a battle of egos. Politics doesn't have much to do with it. Bidzin admitted that he's offended he doesn't receive invitations to Borçiladze's birthday parties. Lomsadze also touched on the still-running feud between Bidzin and Misha. Eurasianet's Josh Kuseta writes about the new missile system that Armenia purchased from Russia. The missiles are called Iskanders, and Armenia is the only country besides Russia to have them. The advanced missile system could be a powerful deterrent against attacks from Azerbaijan, where Russia is also selling tons of weapons. The Atlantic Council previews Prime Minister Kvitek, interviews Prime Minister Kvitakashvili. Prime Minister says that Georgia's European choice is irreversible and that it will continue regardless of the outcome of the parliamentary elections. More than two-thirds Georgians support both NATO and EU membership, according to recent polls from NDI. Geostat publishes its 2015 report on child labor in Georgia. It's the first such survey report since 2000. Covers children ages 5 to 17. 1.6% of children living in urban areas are engaged in economic activities, as are 11.4% of those living in rural areas. Council of European Union published a report on human rights and democracy in the world for 2015. Part of the report covers Georgia. They find that the country has made a lot of progress on human rights and has successfully brought its national laws in line with EU standards. The Calvert Journal explores the booming club scene in former Soviet space, including Tbilisi's Bassiani parties, which are the biggest parties in town with an all-night DJ in an empty swimming pool near Dynamo Stadium. The ISET Economist blog talks about the promise of agricultural reform and what it means during the pre-election period. They find it surprising that politicians don't say much about it, even though it employs more than half of the national workforce. Foreign Policy has a piece on Belarus and its president, Alexander Lukashenko, the man often referred to as Europe's last dictator. Two opposition politicians were recently elected to the country's parliament, the first time that's happened in over a decade. The government also invited American free trade advocate John Basile Utley into the country to give a talk, something that was unthinkable a few years ago. All this stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 76, the number of registered municipalities in Georgia. That's according to the system established in 2006. A municipality is a city or town, including its surrounding villages, that has local self-government. A group of U.S. citizens in Georgia is starting a Democrats Abroad chapter. They had their first meeting over the weekend in Vaque Park, which was in partnership with Get Out the Vote. Any U.S. citizen interested in getting involved with Democrats Abroad can get information by sending an email to Dems Abroad Georgia. That is Dems, D-E-M-S, Abroad, A-B-R-O-A-D, Georgia, at gmail.com. And don't forget to look for the Facebook page Expat Democrats in Georgia. If you search Expat Democrats in Georgia, you will find it. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, first, a word from our very own Will Dunbar, talking about the October 8th elections, as well as what will happen on October 9th. I am sorry to say that I won't be able to snark a last word on this one, even though I get to do that because this is my podcast, because I agree with almost everything that he says, especially the weirdness and importance and variability of what could happen with the majoritarians. So we'll hear from Will, and then we will hear from 2011 New York City, Nicholas Jarre, and Encore.
Hello, Mark, and hello to Bill Pod listeners. Mark has asked me to call in with my two cents about the past week's news in Georgia, but in fact, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to talk about what might be in the news a couple of weeks from now. So we're 16 days away from the parliamentary election. It's, of course, a cliche to call the election crucial or a critical test of Georgia's democracy and so on. But sometimes cliches are right, and this really is a very important vote. But then so was the last one and the one before that and so on. But the thing about this election that's different is that we really have no decent idea about what's going to happen. Polls show a huge number of undecideds, and both the main contenders, the Georgian Dream and the UNM, are hovering at a little less than 20%. It looks like the Burchaladze, the opera singers coalition, with some people who left the UNM, will just pass the 5% threshold and make it into parliament, but that's probably not the case for Alassania or the Republicans. The crazy right-wing Alliance for Patriots, they're polling badly as well, but I wouldn't underestimate them. They seem to have a nationwide campaign that's doing pretty well. Also, because half of Georgian MPs are directly elected from local constituencies, in which personalities are even more important and there's a big potential for dodgy deals and dodgy electoral practices, the numbers are even vaguer. And that means that no one has any idea what's going to happen. The smart money is on the Georgian Dream somehow inching past 50% of seats while only getting a plurality in the popular vote. But then 4 years ago, the smart money was on the UNM squeaking to victory, and it lost big time. So there may have to be some sort of coalition, but who with who, we don't know. Could the UNM and the Burchaladze bloc get a majority? Could the Georgian Dream bring Burchaladze on board? And what about left-field parties like the Alliance of Patriots or even the Labour Party coming in? We just don't know about that. But it's fine not to be confident about our predictions from October the 8th. And it shows that democracy is, at least in terms of elections, fairly healthy in Georgia. But I'm more interested in what happens on October the 9th. Because it's entirely possible that there'll be no clear winner. And if there's no clear winner, then all bets are suddenly off. So those majoritarian MPs who make up half of the parliament, they've got to get over 50% of the vote in their constituencies to be elected. And the chances are, in many seats, especially in Tbilisi, they will have to be runoff votes. These need to take place a fortnight after the election, and that leaves 2 weeks of backroom deals, pressure, potential intimidation from all sides. And the other thing about most of the majoritarians is they are non-ideological. They're just local bigwigs seeking to protect their business interests. And they don't care who wins as long as they are on the winning side. That's why most of today's majoritarians were elected on a UNM ticket in 2012, but changed sides as soon as they saw the UNM had lost. So if there's no clear winner, and if there are lots of reruns, then the majoritarians could essentially decide who forms the next government, and it could take up to 2 weeks. And so while we don't know who to place our money on for October the 8th, it might be wise to bet on the election and the uncertainty that comes with it continuing for a little while after that. It's just a thought, but perhaps worth thinking about. Thanks, Mark. See you later.
From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. Who? From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. Who? From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing.